Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the March 21st, 2018 Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome to spring. It is beautiful. It is a great day, and I want to welcome you to the show. This show is all about what makes companies unique, what makes them different. How do they communicate that difference? How do they communicate that uniqueness, who their customers are, and why do their customers care about them? Every week, what we do is we have another guest on board, and that guest tells us a story about them, their customers, what they do, why they do it, who they do it for, and more importantly, why those people care. Well, my name is Ben Baker, and my company, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, is Your Brand Marketing. And what we are is a corporate storyteller. We tell stories. We're keynote speakers. We're workshop consultants. And we do consulting on companies for brand, message, market, vision, and value. We want people to understand who you are, what you do, and why you do it. Because when they understand why you do it, they care. They're engaged. They're interested. And all of a sudden, you become unique and valuable. And when you become unique and valuable, you're not a commodity anymore. And that's the objective. The objective is to get away from all the noise, to stop saying I'm another me too, and communicate how you're different. What are the little things that you do? And they can't be just little things that sets you apart. Now, this week, we have Heather White coming to us live from Vancouver. I was lucky enough to catch her in Vancouver. She speaks all over the world. And I want to let her tell you her story. So sit back, enjoy, listen to the story, and I'll be back. Heather, thank you very much for joining me on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Ben. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's great having you back in Vancouver. You know, you're not here that much anymore.
Not during the winter, if I can help it.
I'm solar powered.
I'm solar powered, so I need my sun.
You know what? I never thought about it. It's true, but you always have that nice, warm, healthy glow on. You're always, you know, you got the Ray-Ban. I always have this picture of you with the Ray-Bans on the head, and you know, sitting there going, give me the sun. Just point me at the sun and life is good.
Yes, you bet. Worst case scenario, there's bronzing powder. You wouldn't know anything about that, but.
You know what? I don't, you know, I just look at it and go, I am who I am. And you know what? Either people love me or they don't. So.
Amen. Amen.
You know, but that's the thing about us in Vancouver is that, you know what, February gets to that point where you need to get out of here. And I totally get that. Everybody I know sits there and goes, okay, either we're going away at Christmas or we're going away in February because we need a break. You know, you always need somewhere where you need a little bit of warmth and a little bit of sunshine and be able to move it on. I love this city, but, you know, a little bit of a break is always a good thing.
Totally.
So cool. So let's get into the show. I mean, the show is all about adding value. It's all about what do you do that's unique? What do you do that's different? What do you do that makes your clients love you? So tell me the story of Heather. Tell me the story about what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and why they care, because they do care. And that's the cool thing.
Yeah, no, I love that question. I'm going to take you back a little bit because I think some context would be helpful.
Sure.
You know, I started my career in business and in business development, and I worked for a broadline food service distribution company in outside sales. And this was pre-2008. And unbeknownst to me at the time, you know, you learn retrospectively often how much you really gleaned in terms of wisdom and knowledge. But that experience taught me so much. You know, we were outside sales. We were 100% commission sales reps. It was a people business. It was about connecting and relating to people. It was about solving problems. You know, I learned what was so fascinating for me was because I wasn't a foodie. I didn't know a lot about food, but I really love people. And as a result of which I was able to be highly successful without having a huge product knowledge base. Of course, as you go, you learn it. But we had 40,000 listed items, or no, we had 15,000 listed items and 40,000 special order items. You can't know it all, right?
Impossible.
And so I learned really quickly. It was about really connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize I was learning was it was really about listening. And I bring that up because that is something that I think is a hugely honed skill that I have today in the work that I do. But to give you just a little bit more background, like nearing the end of that tenure where I was working, I also became a trainer.
Okay.
And this was a time when I really discovered how much I loved taking people from A to B. You know, I'd pick up a new sales rep who's just been hired. They'd get in my car and I'd say, okay, so let's go do some cold calling. And, you know, the color would drain from their face and they're like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? It's the first day.
Oh, I don't want to, you know, we're just going to knock. And I said, no, we're just going to go knock on some doors and go meet some people and see what happens. And, and it was so nice to drop them off at the end of the day to realize, wow, that actually was hugely rewarding. We just connected with people. We gained a lot of knowledge and information. We've got a whole bunch of notes and follow-up and things we can do. And it wasn't so scary. And I made it a point to take new reps cold calling because it was something that hadn't been given to me as a training until I sought out some mentorship internally. And I said to a few of my colleagues, like, help me with the cold calling thing. Cause I had built it up into this big scary monster. And I was lucky enough to have a few colleagues and friends that really mentored me in that department. So it was really important. And then, you know, at that point I realized I was so much more in love with people than I was with food and food service. And I also met two coaches at that time. And up until that point in my life, my only experience with coaching was through athletics.
Right.
And so I met two coaches. One was a business coach and one was, a performance coach. Bob Proctor was from Toronto. He was trained by, you know, the lights of Earl Nightingale and had this plethora of wisdom and knowledge about, you know, how to activate the greatest potentials in your life. And then I met Chris Flett, who was a former mentee of my stepdad's, who was an extremely gifted business professional and business development professional. And he's doing this thing called coaching.
Wow.
And one day I'm having, playing a round of golf with Chris. And he says to me, so we're sort of in this dialogue saying,
yeah,
I love people. I love training. I love taking people from A to B. And, I love this coaching thing. This is amazing. This has gifted my life with so much wisdom and knowledge. And, he says, he looks at me and he says, you know, I'd be interested in funding a startup for you if you want to take your experience from the corporate arena and what you're learning and start your own consulting and coaching company. But you've got
There's
to quit your job by Monday. Yeah. You've got to quit your job by Monday.
Oh my God.
And this is on a Thursday. And so I did. But I say all that because, you know, when you ask what's unique and what do clients love about you? Sure. So I think there's two really main things for me. One is that I'm able to understand business.
Yeah.
Even though after a number of years working in partnership with Chris and working strictly on business development coaching and, you know, really strict kind of like sales funnel development, niche market development, really tracking numbers, P&Ls, like just focused on the business development growth, I realized I cared so much more about the people. Right. So again, it showed up. So in 2011, I went out on my own and I took everything that I had learned from business development and business. And I took everything I was learning from like mindfulness, spirituality, you know, the potentialities within each of us. And I sort of have this hybrid now.
Right. You mashed them all together and made the best of both.
You got it. And so what makes me unique, I think, is I'm deeply passionate about people and potential.
Yeah.
I have, my passion is spirituality and, you know, why are we here on the planet? What's the soul call? But I have a really unique situation because I don't just do that. I really do understand business and I really do understand metrics. And I understand that in order for us to explore our potential, in order for us to explore our self-realization, like sort of those bigger questions, we need a foundation to stand on.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of the story of how this came to be. And it's 2007 was when I launched. And so here we are in 2018.
And you were what? You were 12 when you started, right?
I was 25.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing. I mean, you've done an incredible job in the last 11 years. I mean, I'm just watching, you know, your growth potential, just watching where you've gone the last 11 years. And it's an amazing thing. But, you know, the one thing that struck gold for me was the humanity in business. And it seems to be the one factor that tends to be missing in a lot of corporations is the humanity. We're in a world where we have a cycle where there's 60 to 70% disengagement within the workforce. And a lot of it is the fact that, you know, management doesn't trust employees because they feel that the employees are going to stick around for 13 months and go. So why should we spend the money to train them? And employees don't feel that they're getting the opportunity to succeed and to advance. And it's that cycle, that circle that we've put ourselves in as corporations that has led to the point where we're sitting there going, HR departments are pulling their hair out because they're constantly looking for new talent and constantly looking over their shoulder to say who's jumping ship. You know, so I mean, you've got to be right in the epicenter of that.
It's such a good point that you bring up. And I have this conversation at best and battle at worst with people on this, because I think there is a solution. And for me, it's really about us zooming out our lens, right? We're kind of coming out of this old, very sort of masculine linear model that has been until now. But like anything, it's like what got us here is the very thing that's actually going to stop us from getting there. And we're living in a world, right, where the advances of technology have sort of blown the lid off of our geographical restraints, our logistical constraints, our distribution. Like, we live in a global marketplace.
Absolutely.
Right? And so if we got our blinders on, like, this is, you know, our box, and like, we got to keep all the talent that we have in here and, you know, get rid of anything that doesn't fit. And we forget, like, that we live in this global marketplace where there's talent everywhere. And like, speaking of branding, the best thing you can do is like allow people to have the greatest experience possible within the the context Absolutely. Of their work. And if they need to go to somewhere else, yeah. because that's right, like, so we need to expand our awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think work much more collaboratively,
yeah,
right, as industry and as organization, like, and, you know, sharing talent and finding, like, asking better questions, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like, how do we keep them here? It's like, how do we provide the best possible experience and context so people show up to work and thrive?
Exactly.
And be willing to not know the answer to the question, right? Because yeah. if you know the answer to the question, you're answering it from here. Your mind is programmed by the past. So at best, you're just going to loop around and eventually you're going to end up in the same place.
Well, you know, I look at that, you know, from a micro point of view, for my business, is that I am a far better resource for my clients because I outsource almost everything. My relationships are people like you, people like my graphic designers, like my editors, my copywriters, my videographers. And for me to have all those people in-house would cost my clients millions. Because I'd have to have the office space, the phones, the infrastructure, the all those type of things. It's better for me to have all those resources at my fingertips, bring them into the situation as needed, build a virtual team, create success for the customer, and then disband and rebuild as necessary, than to only use the talent that I have, you know, in-house. If I've got 3 graphic designers, one that really isn't that good, but he's the only one that's available right now, you may not get the best work. But if I have, you know, 15 different graphic designers and I can just say, okay, A, B, and C are busy, but I have D, E, and F, mm-hmm. I can pick the one from D, E, and F, which is best for your business. You know, so we need to think in a different paradigm, you know, Absolutely. Both inside the company and out.
I love that. And you're asking a question of like, how can I provide the greatest service and value versus how do I keep my designer busy?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Two very different questions that are yes. going to come up. They're going to generate different answers. I love yes. that. Yeah.
So how do you go about helping your clients shift the paradigm? I mean, what does the conversation look like? What is, you know, what is the relationship look like? What, you know, what are the things that you're putting your clients' feet to the fire and say, you know, have you thought about this amount of heat? Mm.
So for me, I work with high performers, high achievers, and I work on the cultivation of conscious awareness. And what I mean by that is, and the reason why I love working with achievers and performers, high performers, is because they're just hungry for knowledge. And they're the kinds of people you mention a book, and by the time you talk to them the next time, they've not only read that book, but they've read the other 3 titles by that author. Mm-hmm. Because when you start to infuse conscious awareness into the mindset of a high performer, yeah. to me, the world changes in a really fast way. And that's what I'm interested in. Like, I'm not personally that interested in incremental change. I'm interested in transformation and I'm interested in like massive shift.
Right.
And I see that by, you know, working with the right people and having the right incremental shifts within their life. Mm-hmm. And then the trickle down and ripple effect of that is enormous. In terms of how I work, you know, I'm really listening for a few things. Number one, what's the soul call, or, you know, the impetus of the entelechy, if you will. It's like, entelechy is a Greek word and it can be translated to soul, but it's like within us is coded a potentiality that under the right circumstances and in the right context has an opportunity to manifest. It's like the acorn has the entelechy to manifest to the oak tree, right? It has a pre-coded, predetermined potentiality that it can become. Doesn't mean it will, right? Because if I stick an acorn in my metal filing cabinet in my office, the chances of it manifesting into an oak tree go down exponentially. I mean, exactly. We've all seen a flower poking through the cement in New York City, so we know there's something, but the chances, right, are slimmer.
Exactly.
So I'm interested in listening about that. And you never get to that work until you have the foundation of, you know, your security, mm-hmm. right? And so I like to work with people when they hit that wall of, they have sort of achieved everything that their achiever nature gives them access to. And now they're hitting that wall of realization that this isn't how I thought I was going to feel, or this isn't, there's something else in my life that I can sense is wanting to come through. And I don't know what to do with that. And because we live in a culture that's very rational focused, it's very masculine oriented. And I don't mean male, just masculine in terms of linear way of operating. It's like set the goal, reverse engineer the goal, work the steps, reach the goal, check the box.
Yeah.
Right. And at some point that starts to become unfulfilling for people. And that's when I like to work with them. So I like to listen for what that is. The interesting thing about the way that happens in somebody's life is it happens via unfolding, not via goal achievement, right? So it's basically, it happens from the inside out, one step at a time, right? It's like that old saying, you don't get to see the whole staircase, you just get to see the next step. So it goes flies very much in the face of everything that they have been conditioned and socialized in terms of a paradigm to work within.
Right.
And it involves two really important things. One is a deep sense of receptivity and listening in their own life. So it's a cultivation of a consciousness within their inner world. And two is huge courage. Because every step is going to ask them to do something that inner egoic voice is going to scream in resistance again, because it's going to be new. It's going to be a new way of showing up in the world. It's going to be an action that's outside of the paradigm that they have been, you know, socialized and culturalized into living within. And as a result of which, literally their life changes, the world changes, right? There's this massive shift in consciousness. By the time I'm done with them, they better think differently. They're showing up differently, and their life as a result of which is orienting from a completely different place, and they're getting very different results.
And that's amazing, because it's trust in the unknown. You know, it's jumping off that cliff, knowing sooner or later you're going to hit ground, and it's going to be ground you've never seen before, but there's ground down there somewhere, and you eventually are going to be fine. You just may float around and flop around and, you know, and be uncomfortable for a while you're getting that ground back underneath you. You know, and that getting you to that next level. And that's a scary place for a lot of people. I mean, that's a very scary place, especially people that have been high achievers their entire life. They've set goals, they've achieved them. They set goals and achieved them. They know exactly where the horizon is. They know exactly where that next, dragon is they need to slay. They know exactly where they're going. And to all of a sudden put them in a place where they have blinders on or a blindfold, that's going to be terrifying for a lot of these people. It's going to make them better in the long run, but it's building that trust in you that you will be the guide that will take them there. And that's got to be a big challenge.
Not only is it a challenge, but honestly, what it is it's such an honor. I mean, to sit in my job is to hold that space, right? Yeah. And I cannot offer any of this without living it myself. And so this is my practice in my life as well. So otherwise I'm just, you know, feeding them knowledge. Like I could read it in a book and give them the knowledge, but if I'm not giving them the key that unlocks the knowledge to wisdom, which can only happen by me having a lived experience of it, I'm not providing any service. Right. And so it is scary for them. Absolutely. But these people are ready, right? Because they have this intuitive awareness that one more zero at the end of that paycheck, you know, one more trip, one more car, one more this, one more, it's not going to do it. They already know that, right? So they're ready.
Right. Yeah. So they've gone beyond the point where, you know, they're already taking the trips to the Bahamas. They already drive the really nice car. Their kids are already in the private schools. You know, they've already, their retirement is already taken care of. They're not worried about any of that. Now they're looking for a higher purpose. And, you know, it's those leaders that are sitting there saying, okay, what's the legacy that I'm going to be able to leave? What's the transformation that I can make either within my company or within my society or within the world itself, depending on what their goals are? You know, and how do I get there? And that's that next, you're right, that's that next plane level. And it comes from people that are already comfortable with their own achievements. And if you're not comfortable with the fact that you've already, you know, been there, you've already done that, you already got the gold star, you'll never be there. You know, you'll never be able to get to that next level until you have a belief that you are enough without it.
Amen. That's exactly, you nailed it. Yeah. The first shift is the orientation on which they're standing, right? The foundation. And you know, for achievers and having been an achiever and am an achiever, mm-hmm. you know, we usually start from the bedrock of I'm not enough. It's like when I get this, right? And so
as soon as I get that 80-inch color TV, it'll be enough. Yes.
Yeah. Right. And we've had, at this point, have had too many experiences of that not being true, right? So we start to wake up to the realization that this is actually a lie. But the first thing we have to do is change our orientation. We have to start navigating from a place of awareness that I am, right, a resourceful, generative, powerful, capable, competent, right, yeah. connected, conscious being yeah. with a contribution that only I can make.
Absolutely.
And so that is the first order of business, is to start orienting from a different bedrock.
And that's, you know, as I said before, that's a paradigm shift.
Absolutely. You know?
And that's a paradigm shift. And that goes from being, it's not about me anymore. It's about how I can help change my world. You know, I've done what I can for myself. Now, how can I help others?
Bingo.
And that's a neat thing. Now, you know, you traveled a bit. You know, you travel a lot. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, when you're doing your type of work, is it mostly for CEOs? Is it for executive teams? You know, when you're out there traveling and you're doing workshops and you're out there speaking, you know, who are you working with? Is it one-on-ones, or is it mostly one on a small team? You know, on a transformative weekend, or is it long-term projects, or is it short-term projects? What do they mostly look like?
So the majority of my business is one-on-one coaching.
Okay.
And yes, I do. And I have, traveled all over the world doing yeah. small group training, executive coaching, executive team transformation, all of the above.
Yeah.
And there is something really magical that happens in a group think as well. Mm-hmm. I will say that. It just depends, right? The work that I'm doing, right, is at such a deep level.
Sure.
That, you know, let's just say I haven't found the way to do that in sort of a group format, especially within the context of a corporate arena, because yeah. We can't help but have some walls up when we're in that context, right?
Right.
So when it comes to your self-actualization, when it comes to the cultivation of your conscious awareness, I found a sweet spot and a level of mastery in terms of doing that one-on-one.
Gotcha.
In the bigger group stuff, we're talking more about, you know, consciously cultivating some self-awareness in terms of how I'm showing up as a leader, how that's affecting the people in the room. How am I, you know, creating a context to allow my team to thrive?
Sure.
Kind of pointing out blind spots, talking about like personal branding, talking about, you know, what is that conversation that your team's having about you when you're not there? I kind of pride myself on brutal honesty with love, because people just need to know the truth. They just need to hear the truth. It's like, yeah. You are coming across as a total jerk and people are shutting down in your presence yeah. and that you're not getting the most out of your people, not because there isn't something there for them to contribute, but because there's an air of fear,
right.
Like the second you walk into the room. And so as a result of that, people are not performing at their best, right? And that can be hard to hear.
It's really hard to hear. You know, it's as a leader to be told that you're not being a leader. You know, you may have the authority, you may have the position, you may have the business card in the corner office, but you're not being a leader. You know, you're not enabling your team to be the best team they can be.
Right.
And that's got to be a hard thing for any uber successful person to hear, that they've succeeded in spite of themselves. You know, they're not liked, they're feared, they're, you know, nobody trusts them. You know, they may have been successful, they may have the corner office and the big salary, but
yeah,
it's how are they thought of when they're not in the room. That's got to be a tough thing, a tough conversation for you to have at times.
It is, but you know, again, I'm an advocate for the authenticity. I like to look behind all the layers of the stuff we like to put out and see that like unshakable immortal diamond that's inside, that I know has the same desires that everybody in that room has, which is absolutely, we all want to show up. We want to do what we were born to do. We want to contribute in the greatest possible way, because that's what allows us to feel those levels of fulfillment and contribution that we're all after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not everybody's ready to hear it, and not everybody's my client. That's fine. Right. Yeah. But the ones that are really asking the question, like, and I honor them so much, because that is such a brave thing to ask. Like, sure, where am I contributing to the breakdown here, and what can I do? How can I show up differently in order for us to thrive? Right? It's like, it's such a humble question.
Absolutely. Right?
And for the most part, the reason we're showing up that way is nothing less than habit. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just, we lean on that. We know what the results of showing up that way are going to be. Right. And like, let's not underestimate the fact that these executives are under enormous pressure, right, to answer to shareholders at the board meetings every single month,
yeah,
right? And so for them to make a leap of faith is mm-hmm. huge, because they've got this massive pressure on top of it, right? For me to make a leap of faith, right, I have one assistant, right? Right. I always have to remind myself of the context that they are in, right? For them to make a leap of faith is so enormously courageous. But again, for me, the juicy part is the ripple effect of that, right? When an organization of 800 or 1,000 people shift, that to me is so rewarding, to know that those people are showing up into an environment now where there's an invitation for their soul to come to work. That makes me elated beyond words.
Well, let's face it, when a leader is self-fulfilled, if they're self-confident, if they believe in the mission, vision of what they're doing and why they're doing it and who they're trying to help, that trickles down to the entire organization, and the culture gets better, and the company gets better, and the clients align with the company better, and it's more profitable. You know, it's amazing when you start looking at things from that perspective, instead of saying, how much money did we make this month? You know, what was our cost per share? You know, and when you start thinking about saying, how can we take care of our customers, and the customers include the people within our company, and be able to make them enabled, make them, you know, give them the power to make decisions, give them the authority to be able to make mistakes and be able to own them. You know what? The company gets better, and the company becomes more profitable, because it's more valued by, you know, the shareholders and the people that are buying from them.
Absolutely.
You know, so you're right. There is that enormous trickle effect, and that's great work. I mean, it's hard work. You know, sometimes I'm sure it's frustrating work, but you know what? It's got to be really gratifying when the work is done and you can see that, you know, the benefits of it.
Hugely so. Hugely so. Yes.
Well, listen, let me ask you one last question, then I'm going to let you go, because, you know, we got it. Yeah, you're going. Let's get back to that question we've asked a couple times about other people, but now about you. When you leave the room, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about Heather White and your company and your brand when you're not in the room?
So my answer to that is a little different. And the reason is because what's really important to me is not that my presence, not that my, you know, again, because I'm a personal brand, right? It's not that they're so focused on me. What I want that conversation to be when I've left is about something that has woken up within them, mm-hmm. something about me being there and the conversations we've had and the insights that have been uncovered reminds them of their own greatness. And suddenly they're having a new conversation with themselves. So how that might manifest with regards to what they would say about me or what they would say about my brand is it's like, I don't know, something about her being here just reminded me of what I'm capable of. I'm more inspired. I'm more motivated. I'm ready. I feel courageous. I can take a next step. All of those things make me feel good about laying my head on the pillow tonight and saying, yeah, I did a good job today.
No, that's great.
My litmus test is when someone says to me, never thought of it like that.
Well, it's about enabling people to be better at who they are.
Exactly. I don't want to leave the room and to be put on a pedestal ever. No. I want to leave the room and almost like they forgot I was there, but they've remembered who they are.
And that's a wonderful place to stop. Heather, thank you for being part of the show. Hang out in the green room. I'll be right back. I just want to say goodbye to everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Ben. Bye, everybody.
I want to thank you for making the time to spend the time with us today. You know what? Heather is a magical, magical person. She is full of energy. She's full of insight. And it was really wonderful having her on the show today. Now, every week, we interview another guest on the YourLivingBrand.live show every 10 o'clock, every Wednesday on Pacific time. We'd love to have you here. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. We're here to help you tell your story. What is your story? It's important. It's important to know. It's important to tell because not only does it motivate your customers, but it also motivates your staff. And that's what it's all about. Tell a story. Tell a great story. Have a great day.